This week on the Media Corps Minute Podcast, we sit down with John Meyer, the owner of Ace Athletics here in Rochester. This is a great one. He has a great story. He's learned a lot. He's young. He's passionate. He loves what he does. You'll be able to see that in the video. We also have a special guest. Stay tuned. I think you guys are going to like this one. John, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Good. Doing good.
Beautiful space.
Yeah. Thank you. We were excited to get you on. I think me and Jimmy were talking too. I think when you were coming to town, getting started, that was pretty much when I was getting started too. And I know we connected, and then we've kind of both been probably following from afar for a bit, and it's been fun seeing just progression and things changing. And
right, I remember you coming into my store at the mall and telling me I'm starting this media company, and here we are, man. It's truly incredible to see what you have built. I follow all your stuff. I watch all your stuff as much as I can, at least. And
yeah, I appreciate that, man.
You guys put out some good work, and you built a great business, man. So you gotta be proud of yourself. And,
thank you.
Me knowing you, I'm proud of you. So.
No, I'm excited, dude. It's been fun to I literally remember being in that first store and chatting with you, and just BSing about the dream. And I think what we were saying too, we were on a podcast like 5 years ago, probably.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yep.
Bucky,
dig that one up.
We're gonna have to find that one.
Yep. It's fun looking back at those, because I also look back and I'm like, this kid knows nothing. When I listen back, you're like, dude, you didn't know anything at that age.
Just talking. No, yeah, you know, man.
But it'll be fun. We can do that in 10 years from now, and we'll still be
you'll laugh at this right here.
You guys know nothing then.
Yeah, yeah, man. I feel like every day I get older, there's more wisdom that has been created. And I think that every day that you go through, you're going to be throwing challenges, and those challenges are going to shape you into who you are. I know I've had a ton of them throughout my almost eight years in business.
Yeah, yeah.
And
because how old are you, by the way?
27.
27?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought you might be my age or even older than me.
How old are you?
That. I'm 29.
I didn't know. I thought you were my age too.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I'm going to be 28. Yeah. 28 this year. So. Yeah.
No, are you 29 yet?
No, I'm still 28. Yeah, I turned 29 in April.
No. Now I'm thinking about it. It's been 7 years, not eight.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I was like, when we had my birthday at this, I don't know, this cabin thing, that was fun. But
Spooner.
There was one of the signs was last year in your 20s. And I was like, oh, that hit. Because you look at 30, you're like, oh, that's a big jump. But thinking about your last year in your 20s, I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, it's funny. Kelly posted something, and it was about I'm 5 years away from being out of my 20s. And my mom commented on it and says, enjoy 25 because it goes quick or something. And you gotta live in that moment, man.
Yep.
Yeah, live in that moment. Success is one thing, but I think success is compounded over a long-term thing. Yep. You want to focus on that, but focus on that moment. That moment is so precious.
Absolutely.
And I lost track of that for a long time. So
I want to kind of dive in your story, but even before that, I know you're doing Ace Athletics right now.
Yep.
And just giving listeners kind of what's the overview? What is
Ace Athletics? So Ace Athletics it's a very unique gym. It's not like anything here in Rochester.
Yeah.
Ace Athletics was founded and built to create a safe place for people who are entry level into the gym or people who have been very experienced. It's not just a fitness center, it's a mindset center. It's a place that we try to shape you and direct you for long-term success in fitness. It's about a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So we preach that every day. We preach building this into your lifestyle, finding a way to make fitness a part of it. If you can find a way to make it a part of your lifestyle, you're gonna be healthy, you're gonna feel good, you're gonna be successful. A lot of people basically fail at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys doing full lifestyle programs for people then down there?
Yeah.
One-on-one? Or is it group or both? Or?
It's a combination of everything. So we got semi-private, we got private, group training, mindset training, high-performance mindset coaching. We do have certified nutrition coaching, and we also are offering massage therapy eventually here too. That's so cool. We have a lady that we're working with that we're very excited about, and that's going to be a new offering. So we've had a few beta tests in it, and it's been going good. So,
Nice, super dude. Cool. Well, speaking on Healthquake, we got some whiskey here that we're gonna crack open. Jim, you want to crack open?
Remember what I said? It's about a balance, about lifestyle.
See, yep, it's balance. Do in moderation.
Yep. See, we talk about that when a client comes on with us. Is part of my conversation with them is, what are the things that you want in your life?
Yeah.
How do we make those things fit? Because what we don't want to do is constrict your life to nothing and take everything out that you enjoy. If you like to have a couple drinks, we're going to find a way to make that work for you.
Yeah.
That's important.
Absolutely. And like,
thank you.
Because that's how I think too, that's how you sustain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like, You change so much about your life that you can only do it for so long before you're just burnt out with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having little changes or compounding changes that kind of, you know.
And that's where it all comes from. I'm a big believer in stacking wins. So okay. I post about it all the time in my personal stuff. It's about stacking small things, making your bed in the morning, having that like routine where you get up, make your bed, make a cup of coffee, make some eggs. If you have kids, making food for them. And that's your routine. That's the non-negotiable part of your life. And you start to stack on those things, you can become really efficient with your life. Yeah, and that's where you start getting those wins every day. So
where do people to that point too? I mean, just building those habits, like once they're built, what do they say, 30 days to kind of reinforce a habit and keep it going. Mm-hmm. So it's like those first 30 days, but if you can push through that, you can do a lot of different stuff.
We're so honest with our clients when they come on. We're like, hey, your first 30 to 60 days, just gonna let you know, it's gonna suck a little bit, but if you can get through that first 30 to 60 days, I will change your life. I'll change your fucking life. And I know that for a fact. And that's because I'm able to start tapping into them, and they're able to start building this into their lifestyle. They've gotten through the worst part of it, where it sucks, the recovery sucks, the workouts suck, every part of it sucks, and now they're starting to get to a point where they have the fear of missing out, you know? They want to be there, they're starting to be consistent, they're starting to see some results, and it's a huge part of it.
Well, it helps, too, that you're passionate about it. I mean, you can tell, like, you live it, you breathe it, you love it.
Yep. I love what I do.
Yep.
I've never been absolutely perfect at what I do. I've been in insanely good shape, and I've also been at points overweight. But really what it comes down to is the times I was not healthy, I didn't have balance.
Right.
So when I found out how to get that balance in my life, it was easy again.
So I want to kind of hear a little bit about that journey too. Like where'd you grow up?
So I'm from South Minneapolis. Okay. A lot of people know it by Richfield. So Richfield, if you don't know what that is, Richfield is a town that's a suburb of Minneapolis. It used to take up a huge chunk of land, and the airport came in, and the airport basically bought a big, big chunk of Richfield and made it go from this massive suburb to this small little town. So it's like 30,000 people now.
Okay.
I think at one point it was over 100,000. They had two high schools.
Oh, dang.
Graduating classes were 3,000-4,000. They're massive schools. And when I graduated, my graduating class was like 190. So Richfield was massive, shrunk down. But kind of talking about like where I grew up, both my parents were business owners.
They were?
Yeah.
Dang.
My mom had a daycare, just an in-home daycare, which was difficult at times. I never got like that alone time with my mom, you know, and just had to share my mom with everyone. My mom made a point to always like try and do things with me on the weekend and stuff. And then my dad had his own like painting and subcontracting business. So.
Nice. So you grew up in it.
I did.
Yep, it's in your blood.
I didn't even think about it when I started my business. I didn't even think of my parents as business owners. I just thought of them as like, that's what they do. When I started my business, I told my dad, I'm buying this store in Bloomington. And he was like, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
Like you're in your 20s. You have an opportunity to like live this right now. Is that what you want to do? I said, I'd rather sacrifice now than later.
Where do you think like you picked up on that kind of stuff? That's a pretty hardcore mindset, you know?
Yeah, I think where it came from, well, actually I know where it came from, was the struggles. So we had a lot of struggles growing up, and it's nothing to do with my parents not being good at what they do.
Yep.
It was the economy tanked. My sister was in figure skating. I was actually in that for a little while too. I mean, $20,000 a year for a sport. They put her through figure skating all the way through high school. She went on to compete in worlds and has gold medals and all sorts of stuff, and skated for Team Australia and Team USA. Oh, wow. And really cool like experience really cool. that she went through. But my parents sacrificed every single thing for that. Mm-hmm. Everything for that. So growing up and knowing that there was points where we might lose our house or might have to move or this or that, those were times that like really like tapped into me.
Yeah.
I think I was like 10 or 12 years old when I like started to recognize that things weren't always like good. And at that point, I always knew that I needed to be successful for my family so they never had to go through that. Mm-hmm. So that's where that tapped into me.
Being able to like sacrifice now to live better later.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't expect to have kids at such a young age. Yep. And been blessed with them. But my goal would have been to be in a whole different position before they were here. So,
yeah.
But taking it one day at a time and just trying to win every day for them and for my family and for the people that are around me, my clients, my team members, mm-hmm. you know, it's about trying to win for everyone else. It's not about me.
Yep.
So
when you bought that first store, were you working there, or like how did it just come about that you're
yeah.
buying a store? That's no small feat either.
Yeah. It's kind of a crazy story. So I was living in Houston, Texas. So I grew up in Minnesota, and I got into some trouble when I was like 17, 18 years old. I was just being an idiot. I had two of my good friends, Kevin and Cameron. Cameron's a police officer in Minneapolis now. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, I think, is going to law school. But both these guys, really good friends of mine. And they saw me making stupid decisions, and they sat me down one night at Kevin's house, and they're like, "John, what the fuck are you doing, man, with your life?" And that's all it took.
Yeah.
That's all it took. And I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I need to figure out what I want to do with myself. And so I started applying to colleges like outside of Minnesota. I wanted to find something that would take me somewhere else and allow me to find like who I am and what I want to do for myself in my life. And so I was like, when I was applying for these schools, I had to find something that was something I had interest in. I hate school. So I went to an automotive school. I was trying to go to the California branch that they had, and I ended up getting approved to that one, but the school was like two or three times more expensive, so I went to the Houston one.
Okay.
So when I was down in Houston, I got myself a job at a place called TF Supplements, and it was like a supplement store that used to be a gym, and it converted after a hurricane that they had, and it was an online store, and then it opened up into stores. So my boss, his name was Chris, and Chris was like a mentor for me. He like took me under his wing, and I feel like that person was the guy who like pivoted my whole life. Mm. That was like where I realized I wanted to do big shit.
Yep.
It was being around him every day. Like he talked big, and I was like, I want to be big like that. Yeah. I want to be like this guy. This guy's a dog, man. Like he's out here killing it every day. And how do I get to that level? And so
he was making it happen. And that
he was 29 when he opened his store. And the biggest, most difficult decision I ever had to make in my life was leaving that.
Mm.
But my family was up here. I wanted to get back closer. I was kind of figuring out where I was at in life, what I wanted to do.
Yep.
So I ended up moving back to Richfield, up in the cities there. And
how long were you down there?
3 years.
3 years. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you graduate with that degree?
So I went to I graduated. Yep. It was an automotive school, so it wasn't like necessarily a degree. It was more like certification,
like the
certificate,
like a 2 year kind of like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was down there for just shy of 3 years.
Okay.
That's where I met Kelly. I actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh, dang.
She's from Houston. I don't know how I got her
That's
to come
great.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she moved with me to Minnesota, and
it's true love.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm blessed, man. And now she doesn't want to go back. She likes it here. So
yep.
I got her locked, man. She ain't going anywhere. but anyways, awesome. I had found a store in Bloomington, and it was called Power Source Nutrition. And I remember vaguely seeing it as a kid growing up when I would go to Lifetime Fitness. I was over there. I was like right next to it. And so I was like driving around trying to find a job. And I was like, I want to get in the same thing or I want to figure out a way to buy something. Had no money at all. Absolutely nothing. And I went to the store. The guy who was one of the managers there was working, and he put me in touch with the owner. The owner called me. I was like, yeah, I mean, how do I buy this place? Like, what's your plan? And he was like, I actually was thinking about closing, so this is a good timing. He was like, I'll sell it to you for 15 grand. And I don't have 15 grand, so how can we make this happen? And he said, well, if you can come up with a down payment, I'll finance it for you.
Yeah.
So we did an owner finance.
Owner finance, yeah.
And I paid him 8,000 down, borrowed half the money from one of my buddies, worked for my dad to make the rest of the money, and then ended up buying the store in owner finance.
Dang.
So
that's cool.
Blessing. Thank you to Mike Hulse, because that I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for that opportunity.
Absolutely.
So.
That's wild, though.
Yeah.
Just like work for one for 3 years, come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to buy one of these quick.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I didn't know what I was doing. I could have went in so many different things. I could have went into like contracting. I could have went into house flipping. And like that's where my dad did growing up. So it was like a natural transaction.
Did you ever think of like doing something with your dad?
Yeah. It was a thought, but I don't think he was ready for it. Yep. So I just went my own way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like the automotive stuff even too. Like, did you like what you were learning there, like in the program? Like,
yeah.
How did that all like?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I always worked on my own cars. I painted my own cars. I was in the collision side. So I did that because I liked restoring stuff. Yeah. I liked to make something that was butt-ass ugly and make it look sexy. Yeah. And I'm a visionary person. So that was always like a part of my identity and like what things I like to do. So when I was down there, they had like a part of the course was you had to customize like what a shop would look like, if you opened a shop, how you'd function it, run it, everything. And I ended up winning that competition.
Heck yeah. So that's cool.
That was kind of like, oh, maybe I do know a little bit of something that might be successful in this journey. So
you bought the store, and how long were you there operating that?
9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was short. It was 9 months, and then you came to Rochester?
So 9 months, I bought it, and I tripled the sales and very quickly. They weren't doing anything. Actually, when I bought the store, I thought it was making money. It was doing like 7-8 grand a month. And when you're in business, you realize 7-8 grand gone like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's instantaneously gone. So it was losing like 3,000 to 5,000 a month, and I had to figure it out. So I was running ads on Instagram, getting like kicked off Instagram because I didn't know what I was doing, going through Facebook jail, this and that. And I met some really cool people. I got opportunities. The guy who founded Holiday Gas Station was one of my clients. And then I also, guy was on Minnesota Wild. And I had a lot of really cool people that came through there.
That's
that kind of opened some doors. And Apache Mall started calling me like, hey, because they saw my website that I was building myself.
And really?
I was saying like what my goals were on it. I had like my own mission on it, and it was like me dreaming, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they read it, and they're like, hey, we want this in Rochester. Like, would you want to open one? I was like, I don't want to go to Rochester. I barely have this thing making money. Yeah. And so about 4 months later, they called me again, and it was right after the April storm that we had in 2018, I want to say it was. And I was like, I'll come check it out when they called me that time. And I came down and they showed me the store. It used to be a Vitamin World. And at that point, I was like, oh, this is actually a pretty cool place. Uh-huh. And this like allows me to take a step towards my goals. But I don't know what I'm going to do because I have this store and I don't have staffing.
Yep.
So I told them I got to think about things, see if I can figure something out. And not even joking, probably about 3 days later, I'm working my store. Some guy comes in and says, I want to buy this.
That's I was like, wild.
All right, here we go. So then I ended up selling it to him. He paid me 25 grand down. It was like 125,000 I sold it to him for.
Dang.
He didn't last more than 2 months. He went bankrupt.
Ooh, yikes.
Didn't know what he was doing.
Not for everybody. Yeah,
it's not for everyone. You got to be there. And I was getting calls at my store out here, like, your store's closed up here. I'm like,
that's
not my store.
Not mine. So, yeah.
Can't do anything about it. And I was shipping products out to people. And ended up acquiring some of that clientele still, which has helped me out when I first opened out here.
That's sick.
I remember running like cross promotions back in the day with the gyms and you guys when you first came to town. Yeah. We were setting booths up and all kinds of stuff. Like
I was trying absolutely everything I could. It was difficult because it was, for a long time, it was only me. Yeah. And when it's only you and you have no money to hire anyone and no ability to hire anyone because you risk not being able to afford to pay them, it's difficult to like get out and try to like grow my business. Where if I didn't have a retail store, I probably would have blown my business up over a couple of years. Yeah. But being where I had to be there, there was no option.
Right.
Oh, man, that was tough. That was so tough.
I remember you were there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time.
That was a mall goblin, man.
Yeah. Like,
it was terrible. I forgot what sunlight looked like, man.
Yep.
I remember I like that you opened like across from GNC. I was like, oh, this is great. Like,
yeah, it turned out good.
Competition,
man.
Like flicking them off.
Yeah. They went out of business. We ran them out.
They really?
So yeah, they ran out of business and we stayed open. After they closed, our store like exploded. Really good for us. And that was tough to eventually close that store. It was doing really well. But I was, again, I opened a store during COVID, tried moving. And my goal was like, hey, I'm going to move everyone over there.
To the south location?
Yeah, because that store was just doing okay. It wasn't honestly the best location.
What do you think? Was it location, you think?
Yeah, location was terrible.
Just didn't have the traffic, the exposure that...
During COVID, it was good. So I did a pop-up shop there, and I negotiated with them where I was paying like a 5% of gross sales was my lease, which was like, that's nothing, absolutely nothing. I was like, I could do this forever, But anyways, we had to like eventually come to our lease terms, and when everything was shut down, the mall was closed, that strip center was popping. It was busy. We were doing well, and then we signed a long-term lease. 2 months later, they opened the mall up, and everything just dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the ceiling fell out. And I was like, okay, well, got to figure this out. So I tried everything there, everything. Ran every ad I could. Tried partnering with everyone.
It was a sick store, too.
It was a really cool store. It was probably one of the coolest ones in the country. And location's the only reason it's not here.
Yeah.
So
I was in there, a handful of times, and it was always a great-looking spot.
A lot of things I'd do different if I was to do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's with any business. I think that as you're in it longer, you're like, well, maybe I would have designed this differently for this to flow better, for this to look better. But at the end of the day, it was just a money pit, and I'm glad I'm out of it.
Yeah. So. Because you had both stores, but then when did you bring in Ace?
Yeah. So Ace came at a really cool time. It was... I signed my lease at the South store. A week later, Jay calls me and said, hey, I got an opportunity if you want to look at it. And that's when Ace came around. Nice. So I signed two leases in a matter of a month. Signed my life away. Signed my life away. I mean, I didn't know the value of my signature at that time until it happened. So it was very difficult running three locations when there's only one of me and one of Kelly. I would have not been able to do it if Kelly wasn't around. I would have closed the stores probably 2 years ago. But
was that, how'd that, you know, like with the relationship, like with both you guys running 24/7?
I think it's challenging, but I also think it's like good for the relationship long term. I think I truly believe it grew us.
Yeah.
She developed as a person that I didn't expect her to develop into. She's like a little business wizard now and she's a go-getter, hard worker, probably one of the hardest workers I know.
Because she probably stepped up there, too.
She had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a quiet, kind of kept to herself girl. And then when she started working into the business and started to realize, hey, this is opportunity for me. And started to see, like, the opportunity come and the success come out of it. She started really going at it, and it fueled her. And, like I said, I wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for her. Absolutely. Eventually, I handed the stores off to her, and I was running the gym, and I couldn't be in every place. So she took over the stores. I ran the gym, and that's when I realized we couldn't do that anymore.
Right.
So
she kind of made the decision then just to kind of consolidate everything, like, let's stop the stores, let's move everything into Ace.
Yeah. I mean, $25,000 nut every month of the lot to crack for just leases. And then you add utilities and insurance and internet and phones and
it goes up quick.
Employees, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, I have to crack $75,000 a month just to break even.
Yeah.
So financially, like, the mall store was killed it. Like, we did really well there. Closing that was tough, but I thought it'd be the right move. Mm-hmm. The south store was very, it was right around that break even point pretty much the whole time, other than during COVID.
Yep.
And then the gym, always been doing pretty well, so.
Because you just, I mean, deciding to move to the gym was just their more passion with, like, the gym side of it.
Yeah, because that was the question, like, which direction do I go, right? Yep. Do I go where I just say screw it to the gym, or do I say screw it to the stores? The answer came from the fact that I was actually able to impact people at the gym, actually able to physically help people, where a supplement store, you tell Jimmy, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this. Yep. And then you never see Jimmy again. Yeah. There's no accountability. There's no way I can, like, force him to come in.
Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just avoid my store. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, I gave Jimmy all this stuff, and I didn't get anything out of this. And I haven't seen him in 6 months. And then all of a sudden Jimmy comes through, and Jimmy, what have you been doing? You know?
Nothing.
But never did it. So then when I was obviously working at the gym, like, people are accountable to that membership. They're coming in regularly. They build into their lifestyle. You're able to help people and see people every day.
Yep.
Simple as that. That was the reason why I switched and transitioned fully into that.
I always thought it'd be fun to have a gym. Like, when we, growing up, I mean, we, I don't know, 11th, 12th grade, like, our sport was, like, the gym. It's like, our group of friends, because me and Jimmy grew up together, too. Like, we were just...
This is good whiskey, man.
Yeah, dude. Right?
Wow.
It is good.
I'm surprised.
Man. I did not expect it to.
I almost say it's like an old fashioned, man.
That was good.
So I loved these, and I was like, I'm going to keep drinking this. But no, like, we just loved the gym. Like, and it was always one of those things, like, yeah, it'd be fun to just, and, like, saying that without knowing what goes into it and being like, yeah, it'd be fun to have a gym.
Just try owning one. There's a lot of headaches that come with it. We had one person, it was a 17-year-old kid, came in, signed up for a membership. And it's just a random story. Signs up for membership, all excited, uses it for a while. Then mom calls me and said, I didn't agree to my son doing that. Yep. I need to be refunded for everything. And I'm like, what? Yep. He's been using the gym. Like, imagine going to Hy-Vee and saying, I'm going to buy this bag of apples and eat them and say, mom said I couldn't buy these. You need to return them.
Yep.
Yeah.
It just, like, it blew my mind. I don't know. There's things every day that, you know, you're going to run into just with any business. You run into things that are roadblocks or, you know, unexpected stuff all the time. And that's the gym.
From your experience, I mean, you ran gyms.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think was, like, the big differences between rocking and rolling and struggling?
From a business standpoint?
Yeah.
More the personal training side, for sure. Because a lot of people... I guess from a base level, they look at a gym like, okay, you have, you know, 1,000 members and they're coming in. It's like, well, that's enough for the business to essentially pay for its bills, you know? And then it's like, where we push more into is, like, again, like, impacting people and stuff. But, like, when you have people that are paying you to train them one-on-one, you know, that's where the gym really makes its revenue.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how it was always set up at every gym I've been at, was like, hey, this covers us for our monthly, you know, bills and utilities and rent and everything like that. And the personal training is what covers us to, like, do extra stuff, grow the company, if we want to look at a different location, stuff like that. So that was always the big focus.
100%.
It's fun too. Like, I had clients, I did, you know, fitness assessments. It's just fun, like, seeing people, and they, you know, they come to you and you're able to see, like, you know, people that lose 60 pounds over the course of time, or, you know, whatever, maybe gain all this muscle mass. And it's just like, it's fun. It's one of those industries that's super fun. You build a culture, you know, you see the same people all the time, and it's like, I don't know, people
100%,
love it.
100%. That's exactly where it's at. Learning about the personal training side of things, that was a big learning curve for me. I always trained my friends, and I always worked out with them, and I always pushed them. And I trained Kelly, and I never thought of myself as, like, a trainer, though. And so I never really did it. I was just like, you know, I'm gonna help people, but I didn't charge. I just thought it was my knowledge, you know.
Yep.
And last year is when I started to like say I'm charging for this. And since that point, that's also around that time where I'm like fully into the gym, fully mm-hmm. focused on the gym. I was able to take on clients because I didn't have the stores anymore to worry about having to go cover shifts and stuff randomly. But yeah, personal training, if you don't have that, I don't know how you have a gym. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to run one without personal training.
I feel like you dialed in your fitness journey too. Like mm-hmm. when was it? Within like the last few years, right? Were you like really, I mean,
yeah,
like,
it was right around COVID time is when I refocused everything, but that was, I had the opportunity to have balance.
Yeah.
So like what I was saying, like when my balance has been there, I've always been really fit, and it's because I work out hard and I eat a lot of food. I love food.
Yeah.
And when you work out hard, you eat a lot of food, you build muscle and you look good.
You get big.
And yeah, you do. How do you put on this muscle? Food, I don't know. I'm just lift. A fat ass. I love food. I love food.
That's funny.
That's true, not man. Like the end of it, of course, but yeah. like that is a part of it. Like I, yeah. you know, I'm a fat boy at heart. I always have been. And working out hard, it makes it where you start to see the results out of things. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, when I had that balance, when the mall shut down and store hours were tightened, I was able to work out regularly again.
Yep.
I was running every day, and it allowed me to like retrack my fitness journey. When I got everything up and running and I had three businesses going on, I lost track of it a little bit again there. But again, I was trying to go in every single direction, and the last thing I thought about was me.
Right.
So I kind of go into like something I want to talk about today was balance, prioritizing yourself. If you don't have any way to prioritize you and be selfish, there's no way that you can be selfless. That's at least my philosophy. When I'm not focusing on myself first, I can't be great for my kids. I can't be great for Kelly. I can't be great for my business. I can't be great for my employees. I can't be great for my clients. But when I focus on myself first and I'm feeling like top notch, I'm able to like excel for everyone else.
Mm.
So.
It is kind of crazy. Oh, sorry. It is kind of crazy too. Like when I'm sure you hear it a lot now too. You talk to people that come in, you know, the gym, and it's like, well, I just don't have the time to work out. But you legitimately didn't have the time because you were doing all this stuff. So now that you're able to take some of that time away, it's like, oh, sometimes it feels like there is no time to do that. But
right. No, that's a thing we hear regularly. I don't have time. I'm like bullshit. I got two kids.
Right.
I had three businesses going on. I had myself trying to run in every direction. You got time. You just don't make time.
Yep.
And that's where it comes down to. So.
See, I'm on the Andy Frizzell story.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you run your business, you get successful, get super out of shape, and then like then you can turn it around.
Get shredded.
So I just haven't hit that point where I can just turn it around 100%.
Hey dude, come see me, man. Come see me, man. I'll meet you up there 5 a.m. every day.
Dude, I literally like I've mentioned that like a couple times. So I'm like, dude, you gotta like dial on your fitness. I'm like, yeah, but like, look at Andy Frizzell. Like, he fucking killed
it. He waited until he was like 35.
He killed it. Yeah, and then he focused on his fitness. Like, I'm gonna do that. That's what I hear. Like, I've always been like a big dude, and I always hear people are like, I've had so much more energy. I've been so much more focused.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like confident. Like. All these different things that like come with like being healthy, and these are like owners, you know, talking about that. And
you'll 10x your business.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting dialed in.
Come see me. I'm not joking.
So what's this, what's like the business thing that you were talking about?
Yeah. So we have like a new offering that we do where it's a business to business offering. This whole offering is for businesses that want to provide benefits for their employees on a wellness program. The wellness program is very diverse. It's customized to each business. So for yours, it could be essentially where you want all of your employees to have the opportunity to be trained or take classes or whatnot, or maybe you just want to have them have a gym that they can call their home base. We have like a program for everyone. Mm-hmm. So we try to customize it. The goal is to help you as business owners be able to have higher performing employees, have employees that show up more and not taking less sick days. People are more mentally there. They're more focused. They're feeling better. They're more confident when they have their health in place. And so we try to like help dial that in for everyone. So we do like the mindset coaching. We do personal training. We do the nutrition coaching. We have an app that we have for that, for tracking and accountability. And so we really try to take a lot of the hard part out for the business when that is something that it's difficult for them to even try to like touch and tap into, right? Like, it'd be hard for you to say, Jimmy, you must have a six pack to work here.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless you're that one dude. What's his name?
Andy Elliott. You know, I think I'm going to think,
take your shirt off.
that was so funny.
On the stage.
You like that? Does that make you feel good?
like never take your shirt off again. It'd be like ashamed for it.
It'd be asking for HR. We got HR here. I need to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, and you know, I might go that direction. Who knows how extreme I will go. At the end of the day, like, I want people who want to win, and that's all I want. I want people who just want to fucking win every day. Oh. If you want to win, you can be on my team. But to win, you have to be physically and mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. You got to have purpose. You got to have health, and you got to find a way to get wealth. Mm.
Do you think you find those people like inherently like they want to do that, or do you think you make people like through hanging out with you and being around you, like people want to get to that level?
I guess combination.
Okay.
Yeah. So being in the gym, I think it gives us an opportunity to meet a lot of different personalities. There's people that are going to school and working in different areas, and they want to come and be a part of what we do. It simply comes down to that we start to build a relationship. They see how I act every day, and they want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So.
Because how big of a team do you guys have over there now?
4.
Nice.
It's not very big, but. Yeah. It's a very focused team.
Just core group.
But mm-hmm. dialed in.
Yep.
Yeah, very focused. We got, I have Alex. He does a lot of our business-to-business stuff. I go and meet with the owners after he sets stuff up. And then I got Kelly. She's like our head trainer over there. She runs all the female programs, the booty builder classes, ab crusher classes, HIIT classes.
I can't do a booty builder?
You can definitely join a booty builder, man. I want to see you over with that band around your hips.
There you go.
Doing some little kickbacks. And I'm gonna have to have Jimmy come out there and film it. It'll be a marketing campaign. we have some guys that join them for sure. Yeah. It really depends on your goal. We call it the booty builder, so it definitely targets more women. Yeah. Because every woman is trying to build a big butt right now. You know, it's 2024, and big butts are the end thing for women. So it's the one thing they can do without surgery. So. Yeah.
And you can get your squat up too.
Yeah.
So, you
know, yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. And they're hard classes. Like, it ain't a joke. Any woman that goes through it, hats off to them, because, like, a lot of dudes wouldn't be able to do it.
Yep.
So, the women that are pushing through them and getting through them, they're hard workers.
So. Yeah. So, what, I mean, as you guys continue to kind of grow and develop, you know, what does that look like for you? What's the future like?
I have I have big goals, man. I consider this step one and level one in my eyes.
Yep.
This gym is my stepping stone. It's nothing near what my vision is for this. I want to bring something that's never been built in Rochester. My goals are eventually to compete with the biggest clubs out here. And it's not necessarily in size, but be the best at what we do, have the most diverse equipment, have the best of the best equipment, have high-end trainers who really care about helping people not just work out, mm-hmm. but build a lifestyle to be healthy forever. Mm-hmm. You know, my dream is to have something that's around 30,000 square feet. I want to have a podcast studio in there. I want to have a barbershop in there. I want to have my whole media team in there, which, I mean, maybe that's you guys, who knows, we can maybe partner on something there, right. You know? I want it to be a vibe, you know? I want it to be dark, black walls and nice wood tones and high ceilings and industrial vibes. And I have this one gym that is in Houston, Texas. Mm. And that this one, oh my God, what's it called? It's called Roman Empire Gym.
Okay.
And,
that sounds super cool.
Yeah. It's called Roman Empire. You should look it up. It is so cool. And like, I always look at it and I'm like, man, like I can envision that planted right here in Rochester, with my own twist on it. And it would just be something so unique, something super cool.
So how far is that out?
My goal is a couple years.
Yeah.
couple of years. So really trying to build my foundation right now. I want to master what I do and be the best at what I can before I take that jump. I've taken jumps early before, And this time around, I want to be very calculated on everything I do. I want to go in and I want to fucking dominate when I do it. So there's going to be nothing held back when I do it. I'm going to be going all out on it. The build out, every part of it, every aspect, every detail is going to be thoroughly thought out and calculated out. So that way it's the best fucking gym in the Midwest.
I feel like that's kind of like part of the entrepreneurial journey too, is like, you know, when we jump in, we kind of just jumped in both feet forward and you kind of just figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then like the more that you grow, the more that you learn, the more like methodical, like I'm gonna, like, this is planned out, like I know what it took to do this, now I gotta figure out how to take this, but like this is gonna be, like you said, more calculated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, cause like I mean, we all went through that. It was just like the, dude, we just gotta bang it out and like figure this out and grind and work hard. And I mean, we still do that. I mean, when you got when you got bills to pay and you got people on your team that rely on you. I mean, like even like the winter seasons for us are like generally slower. You know, it's like we gotta do that much more to go find the companies that are still doing stuff that are like, yeah, we'll just wait till it's nice out.
Right.
So, you know, we're banging the streets and like there was probably all January we didn't get out of here till like 7:30, 8:00.
Yep.
You know, it's just like you're putting in 14-hour days, no problem.
No one sees that though. Yep. No one sees that. They see this business and they see you, they see what you're doing and they think Lambos and yachts, right? Yep. But that is not what it is. It's a grind every day, man. You're hustling and you're not hustling in a bad way, but you're hustling for the win every day, and you're really trying to get there every single day. I start my days around 5 a.m., and they usually don't get done until about 7:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Blessed to have Saturday and Sunday where it's with the family now, but that used to be 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where I was driving 3 hours a day, and I would get to work at 9 a.m. after driving an hour and a half, and I would leave at 9 p.m., and I would get home at 10:30. I would sleep. And I would do the same thing over every single day for a year and a half. And
people don't get that.
No.
And they don't want to do it either.
No, they don't.
Like, if they knew what it took, they wouldn't even, like, try it.
The next step after that for me was living in my store. So I was driving 3 hours a day, and then in the Apache Mall, sleeping in my fucking back room.
I remember that.
And I had this little like self-inflating mattress my dad gave me, and a pillow and a blanket. And I remember an employee went back there and was like, "What is this?" I'm like, "This is where I sleep."
Yeah.
Why is there a shampoo right there in the mop sink? So that's where I had to shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they went on to, like, you know, tell everyone I'm this broke ass dude, but really what they don't understand is that I was putting in everything it took to have what I have today.
Right.
So
people like the idea of it, you know, growing businesses and doing that. But yeah, when it comes down to it, when you're talking like that, it's like very few people would probably be, you know, sign up for that.
No, yeah. I mean, my kids were living in my parents' basement with Kelly. Yeah. She was staying up there. I'd go visit about once every 3-4 days, and I was living in my store. Yeah. That was tough. Like, that was very tough. You know how many times I wanted to leave and, like, say, fuck this and close down shop and, like, say, fuck it, go get a regular job. Mm. I could work for a gym. I could work for a store and make way more money and have way less stress. But it's not in my blood. It's not who I am. I want so much more. I want to create something that hasn't been created before. I want to leave my footprint in this world, and I want to have my name mean something. And that's why I do what I do. It's... at the end of the day, it's about purpose for me. Obviously, you want to have financial success, but that's a secondary act to me of having purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think I was going to speak earlier to your point of, like, you know, having the stores, seeing everything, working everywhere at one time, but it's nice now that you can, like you're saying, with the new build in the future is, like, having this, like, almost 10,000, you know, foot view of, okay, I've been through all of this, I've seen what it takes to grind and do this, but how can I, like, take a step back almost and, like, see what I want before I, you know, with that journey, I think is huge. Yeah.
Right.
Just having that experience.
100%. If I didn't have the opportunity to have the stores I had, the vision that I have now would not be what it is. Yeah. I think my vision has been, like, drafted over years and years and years of learning and wisdom that I've created over every failure I've had, every success I've had. And when I do get the opportunity to build that space, watch the fuck out, Rochester. It's gonna be dominating this area. There ain't anyone out here is gonna do anything like I'm gonna do, and I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like you've been doing more. You've been doing more content too, just talking and doing that. What's kind of like the thought process behind that stuff?
Well, my team. Yeah. My team has been the ones that tell me to do it. So like we're talking now. This is me every day.
Yeah.
Like my brain is 100 miles an hour, and I just have like such, I feel like I have a lot of value that I don't know how to put out there.
Yep.
And I never put it out there because I didn't think that meant anything to anyone. Mm-hmm. But as people have told me, what you say and what you do and your thoughts and your vision and everything, that's fucking cool and that's unique, and there's not a lot of people out there that have that. You need to share that. That's kind of where that's come from.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly's pushed me, Alex has pushed me, Miles has really pushed me into doing it. So
you've been having fun with it now?
I am. I'm learning. I have no idea what I'm doing, but yeah. I'm just trying. I'm triggering people sometimes, and I think it's kind of fun, honestly. Like I had, so going back to when I got into the industry, I started at the vitamin shop in Edina. There was a guy there. I'm going to leave his name out. There was a guy there that I looked up to, highly looked up to. And he was like someone that like helped me, like made me want to stay in the industry. I worked at Vitamin Shop for 2 years, and I was working at Lifetime Synergistically at the same time. And when I moved down to Texas, that's the only reason I stayed in the industry, because of this guy. Well, I made this video about the importance of having a spouse in your life and the importance of having a woman that keeps you focused and keeps you on track. And someone got triggered, mm-hmm. happened to be the guy that worked at the vitamin shop with, mm-hmm. and I come to realize that people that you think are wanting to win are just sitting there waiting for you to fucking fall.
Yeah.
And that lit a fire in me.
Well, it's all fun to be supportive unless, like, until they're like, you know, beating you or something like that, then like you don't want to be supportive anymore. And like,
yeah.
That's where like you find like certain people just having those toxic traits of like, yeah. Like, can I, in me as like a man, put my pride to the side and be excited for somebody else that's like grinding away,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not be fake about it.
100%.
But you have those people that are like, yeah, I'm going to do this on the surface, but like really like, you know, I don't like that you're succeeding, mm-hmm. you know, and like I'm not.
They want to tear you down.
Yeah.
They want to tear you down at any opportunity they have. And that guy's been waiting 8 years for that opportunity. And when he said something about it, I just annihilated him. I just didn't hold anything back. Like, if you really think that my thought process is wrong, go ahead, think that. Mm. But here's the context behind that. And this is why I believe this way. And I'm sorry that your life is in this point and where it's at. And, you know, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to wish you the best. And that's how I look at things. Like, there's no time for me to hate on anyone. Mm-hmm. I want to see everyone successful, even people who have fucked me over, royally fucked me over. I want to see them succeed. I want to see them go out and dominate and win, but I'm going to win more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I want to do it.
And a lot of people too have like, they'd back up the, like some of the guys that we watch on YouTube, I'm sure that we all watch, have even mentioned their spouses being like a big part of their success as mm-hmm. driving factor, someone that's stuck through like the mud and like the crap in like the beginning, but then continue to push and be supportive. And
right.
There's a lot of guys that say that.
I didn't deserve Kelly, that's for sure. Like, she could have walked out way early on when I was putting everything I got into this thing and wasn't able to give her the attention and the time and the things that she deserves to have in this world. And she stuck by my side every single day, every single minute, never once threatened to leave me, never once like threw like, you know, ultimatums at me ever. And she was always my biggest, my number one supporter, even over my family, like my parents and my sisters. And she's always been the number one person. So I attribute a lot of my success and where I'm at because of her. Without her support, I don't know if I would have been able to sustain it. So
yeah, that's a big one.
Can you call her a unicorn if you want, but I don't think so. I think that she's built for it herself too. So
well, I think now that she's, again, like you said, once she hit that point where she had to like also step up and figure it out, then she got to also see like the fun side of it and like embrace that.
Yeah.
And then really, you know, figure out like, dude, I love this stuff too.
Right. The business is a representation of you. It's a reflection of you, a reflection of me, a reflection of you. And if you can be yourself and you can enjoy building the craft, like, you're gonna win. I really do think like you're gonna win every day if you can embrace what you're going through. You can embrace the hard, and you can also, you know, enjoy and embrace the wins too. She's grown up a lot through the process. I don't think that she'd be anywhere where she's at either if she didn't have the opportunity to go through all the shit too. So
that's the thing too. Once people get into it and they start doing more, it's like, I really like, you know, they get really invested. Yeah. It's just fun. You know, I could see that.
She has her ideas that she throws at me every single day, and we sit down and we go through them, and I have my ideas. Alex has his, Miles has his, and we compile our ideas and we go through them, and we're like, what is the move? What is the thing we want to do? And when yours gets taken, that's like extreme ownership in that opportunity. And so you're able to watch your idea come to fruition and come out to on the other side of like what the business is now about as well. So it's a cool thing to be a part of a small business. And if you went and worked for a large corporation, you could, but it would be very difficult to get to that point where what you say and your thoughts are actually impactful to that business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everyone a part of a small business, even everyone here, you know, it's part of this business, like, directly impacts what happens, what the results are, where we go.
Right.
How do you continue to develop yourself as kind of an owner, a CEO, somebody that's being a leader? Because, like, you know,
it's a great question. I study every day. So going back to when I was in high school, I would drive my truck home, and I would park outside the front of my house, and I'd be on my phone in the truck for like sometimes 3-4 hours. And my parents would ask me, like, what are you doing out there? Like, why are you in your truck? And what they didn't realize is that during that time I was in there, I was literally studying ultra successful people. That's what I did. It wasn't social media. We didn't even really have that at the time. But I was like looking up Bill Gates and Elon Musk and all these different people, and like, how did they get successful? What did they do? How did they create what they had? And how did they become who they are? And a lot of it always falls back to being a good leader. And so to this day, I'm always regularly studying leadership. I have coaches that I have that help me become a better leader. When I have questions or things I'm struggling with, I ask them. I'm part of different business owner groups to try and develop my skill sets so that way I can be better for not only myself, but my team and my family and my business. And for me, it's just a constant want to be better, a constant want to improve, a constant want to win more. And I think that just really fuels me. So
it's like what we all read and like watch too. It's, you know, success leaves clues. They say, okay, you want to be successful, study the people before you that did what you want to do, and try to model maybe what you're doing after that.
100%.
I've heard that a lot. Yeah.
100%. I've been very lucky to meet a lot of really cool people. Like, I don't know if you know who Aaron Nash is. Aaron Nash owns PFIT in Florida, and some other, I think he's in a bunch of other states now, but he franchised the place out. And I got to know him, and he's like really good friends with Andy Frisella. And like, there's people that I've gotten an opportunity to meet, and they always have an impact they leave on me. Like, I'm always like asking questions. And my ego goes to the side. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more. You probably know way more than me. And I'm going to try and absorb as much as I can and extract as much as I can out of you, out of every opportunity I have.
That's something interesting too. Have you ever thought about like with like Ace, for example, like the model of like franchising the name, you know, have you ever thought about that? Or is that, I feel like just from the conversation, maybe it's nice to build something up and kind of be super involved, but Has that been something that's crossed your mind?
No, you kind of hit it on the head there. So early on, that's what I wanted to do, was eventually franchise it. It's not my goal anymore. I think what I'm going to end up doing with it will never be franchising. It will always be that this is my business and my foundation and what I built, but it's going to get more and more rooted. My roots are going to get wider. I'm going to come out with a sportswear line. I'm going to have, you know, the gym and the retail store in there, and eventually come out with supplements for it. I know everything about supplements. I'm very, very informative on those, and I know I've been in it for 10 years. Right. Like, I know every ingredient you can probably imagine. So I know how to build like quality supplements, and I know manufacturers of those companies, and I have the network. It's just a matter of doing one thing at a time and really focusing on it, maximizing that one skill set in that one area, and then moving on to the next after you're able to pass on the systems. So,
how do you do with patients? Because that's always something that I've struggled with, is like that. Because I love to just grind and put in the work, and like I want to see things like happen quickly. And
right.
Like, I mean, everything that you're talking about is stuff that can happen, but like it takes time.
It does.
Like, that's the stuff that, like, even as we plan out different things, multiple locations, you know, growing the team, adding in a plane, still in my 3 years getting a plane.
There you go. And, but I better be on a ride with you, man.
We popping around to different places.
That'd be so dope, man.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you, bro.
But it's like, dude, the patience, like, that's, I struggle with that, because like I want stuff to like happen quicker, and like
I think there's a beauty to that though, right? Like, you wanting it so quickly is what makes you work so hard.
Yeah.
I also think that there's a balance on that, man. Me wanting things so quickly also cost me years of my time on Nutrition Shack. That was something that was fully planning on franchising out, and that's where the idea got scrapped on anything with franchising when I closed those. Like, I don't want anything to do with that. But the goal, like, the whole thing was, I didn't have patience. I just wanted to go. If I would have more patience, I probably would have picked a better location, and you know, things would have worked their way out better. But here we are, and it's a learning curve. I think you got to learn to have patience, and that's part of success. But you know, having that want to win every single day and get to that next level and get to the point where, I know you get to that point where you have fuck you money, right? You want to get there tomorrow if you could, right? But having that as your goal is what pushes you to work so hard today, and that compounds every single day.
Because when we look back at 6 years and being in, you know, four different offices, if you include the basement, you know, in the house kind of thing. I mean, like, there's been a lot that's happened in, you know, relatively short amount of time. And to, like, think that this happened, you know, in these 5 years, let's say, what are the next five going to look like? Like, that's exciting, too.
It's going to grow faster, man.
Yeah.
You built what you have in the first 6 years, and I think that it's compounding, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the first, getting from step one to step two is going to take a lot of work. It might take you a year, but getting step two to step three might take you 6 months, and step three to four might take you 3 months. It grows faster every time, and next 5 years, you're going to explode, man. I can see it. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your work. I can see it in your team. I can see it in this office, man. Like, your vision is there, and I think you're just going to absolutely crush it. Not think, I know.
I appreciate that. I'm excited, dude. I have that same fire, and it's fun to, like, talk with guys that have that, like, just that huge passion and ambition to, like, grow and succeed. Because, like, some people, you know, we have on and talk to on here are, like, a lot further down the road than we are.
Oh, yeah.
So even, like, their mindset's different at that time. And it's like, are they pushing still? Like, yeah, but, like, they're not pushing, like, the startup.
No.
So, like, it's fun to have you on, too, because it's, like, that passion is, like, that's what I resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people, like, understand that piece, know kind of where we're at and, like, where we're going to go.
Some people forget, man. They forget about how hard it got.
Yep.
And some people never experience it. They just, you know, go through life, and they're happy with where they're at. And But I have a feeling that your mission is a lot bigger. Let me ask you, what's your purpose? What's your mission? What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely evolved throughout the years. I think when we get into business, when we're just starting and we're young, you know, it's like you watch the people that you look up to and you're like, yeah, dude, I want to be rich and have cars and, you know, do whatever I want to do and stuff like that. And as you get into it and you realize that's not what it's all about, you know, like, I think my motivation has changed over the years. You start to bring in people and you have, you know, they're like, I take that like a huge responsibility in like everybody that's part of my team as like, this is their livelihood, this is their well-being. Mm-hmm. And like, we got to keep pushing to make sure everyone can continue to grow. I can provide that and like a business that they can continue to grow in too.
Right.
I don't want anybody here to get to like ceilings to where like, oh, there's nothing left for me here. It's like, no, like we're all pushing and growing. There'll be endless opportunities. But I think like the mission now, I mean, I still want to build a very large company. It's currently multi-location. That might change once we have our first one and it could thrive, or it could be like, yeah, this sucks, let's just build a big one here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't faced it yet, but the idea is multiple locations. We're continuing to work further and further around, you know, this area, Midwest, the country. We had guys in California, Texas, and Tennessee in last month.
Wow.
And for you. So we definitely want to cut, and that's kind of where like the plane idea is coming into play. It's like, dude, we could serve so many more people, and it'd probably make financial sense to even have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of it. Growth, the growth really motivates me now. It's not even like the dollar amount. It's like the fact that the company is growing, people are growing inside of the company.
Mm-hmm.
But even now, like in this year, 2024, you know, Jake and I talked about it because he bought in last year, and it's like, what do we really want to do with MediaCorp? And like, yes, we want to do all these other things, but we're also both Bible-believing Christians, and we're like, we have to continue to further the kingdom. We have to be able to give back to our people, our community, and it's like, I want to create a workplace that's just so attractive to be at, to where you're looking forward to Monday, not Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you want to be here. You want to keep pushing and like elevate everybody inside of the company.
100%, man. Yep. That's a great mission. A great mission. There was a guy who once told me, he used to own like 13 different businesses, and he called himself like the octopus, right? Like he's pulled in every direction, yeah, right? Yeah. And he said, I was not proud of one company I made, but he said, if you own the Minnesota Vikings, you'd be pretty fucking proud of it, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with you, man. Like you're so focused on what you're doing right here, in your business, and you're definitely taking care of your team. Like if I was in the workforce, I would be wanting to work here myself, and that's something that I strive for. I want people to feel that way about my business, and it's very cool to see that that's what you've cultivated here, man.
Yeah, it's just like it's cool. I mean, like we can create a cool, fun place to be at that, you know, people enjoy. And I don't know, like you look at life and life's still relatively short, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like, what do you want to do like while you're here? And it's like, I want to enjoy what I do. I want to be doing it with people that I enjoy doing it with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being able to create that space where other people can have that same thing. Cause like I've always told our guys, like, I don't want to just like sit on this pedestal and like make all the money and whatever. It's like, we're all growing. Everyone here is, you know, stepping up as we continue to grow. Everyone grows with us. Everyone's getting taken care of and paid more. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've wanted to share that, you know, and like,
and I've always been that same way. I've always given success to people before myself. Mm-hmm. And this year I've told myself, this is the year that I take care of myself first. Mm-hmm. I win first before anyone else. And it's because the whole time I've always been so selfless in every aspect, like giving advances to employees when I didn't have that points and my bills don't get paid. And, but there's always that goal to still maintain the ability to give them as much opportunity as possible, allow them to never hit ceilings. But you gotta take care of yourself too.
Yep.
So,
What have been some of the, like the key things you think throughout your journey that you've really taken away and grown from, you know, that you could give advice to anybody in business, growing in business, starting to be an entrepreneur, anything like that?
Got to start. It's first thing. Yeah. Don't be afraid to start. Like, I was 20 when I started, right? So like for me getting into it at such a young age, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, my dad was like, "You sure you want to do this now?" I was like, "Yeah, I want to start now. And I don't want to waste my 20s when I could be building. I have all the energy and I feel good and I'm healthy. And like, this is a time for me to build this." You need to just start, man. Like the first thing is start. Second thing I think is having a vision and dream big. Like have a big ass vision. Like if you have a small vision, you're gonna never, ever, ever reach what you truly want. If you can dream big and you can think big and want big things, you're gonna achieve at least halfway there. Mm-hmm. So I actually wrote down something in here I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I was saying, think bigger, be a dreamer is one thing.
Yep.
And then also one of the most important things, and I tell this to my daughters all the time, but it's like it goes in every aspect of life, is it has to do with what you say, right? So actions speak louder than words. Like if you're going to say, "I'm going to go out and start this business," or "I'm going to do this and that," shut the fuck up if you ain't doing it. Mm-hmm. Go do it and then tell me you did it. Yeah. That's a big thing that I see a lot of people who are starting in business or wanting to start in business, is that they say it and they never go and do it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it repetitively.
Oh yeah.
Repetitively. I can't even tell you how many people I can think about right now. Like there's just names popping in my head, faces that I've seen that tell me they're gonna do this and this and this, and mm-hmm. I haven't seen a thing. Mm-hmm. But it really comes down to not having action. If they took action, they would actually probably be able to create something really cool. Mm-hmm. So
like that
for me, action speaks louder than words. Be a visionary person. Be a dreamer. Dream big. Mm-hmm. And just start. Just start.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's dope. Because, like, yeah, that's a big thing. Like, even when I was starting this, like, very, very beginning, you know, there were, like, so many people get caught on their website and their logo and all this, and they keep dreaming and they're mm-hmm. they're playing in the clouds, and it was just like,
doesn't matter,
not gonna do any of that, not gonna worry about that, I'll just get some stuff going. But like the key is doing it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I even when I was starting, like I've always wanted to own a company, but I was always trying to do it with somebody. I think that was the other thing that like held me back, was like no one was always at the same exact point that I was. Mm-hmm. And like it was always like fun and always like ideas, but to like, it just never like came to fruition in anything. So I was just like, that was the other thing I guess I took away, was like, I gotta just
start. Did you have people telling you that they wanted to do it with you?
Over the years, I mean, even like me and Jimmy,
like me and Josh,
we've talked about
multiple concepts and I don't know. It's always one of those things too, where like I was always in a good position, and yeah,
risk.
I moved back from St. Cloud to work here 3 years ago, and you know, I at that point was like, yep, you know, I'm sick of doing what I'm doing. I'm just bored. You know, I'm bored of doing what I'm doing. I want a new challenge, I always said. But I remember at the beginning even talking with Josh about like, hey, it'd be cool to like work together. And it's like, when you're at a point in your life where you're doing what you're doing, it's hard to say, okay, well, I have this guaranteed thing here, let's jump back. But now I couldn't be more happy that I did it. You know, when I did, it's like, oh, maybe it could have been fun to come earlier too, but it's like, you don't know at the time. And yeah,
everything works out in the right time. Right. And obviously you being here now, you guys did it at the right time. You had done it earlier, you never know how bad that could have went.
Right.
But I remember a few people that you tried working with in the past, and you know, man, they just don't have it in them. Mm-hmm. They don't have it in them to sacrifice everything it takes to build what you have built. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of grit. It takes a lot of gumption. It takes a lot of adversity, and you've overcome a lot of things, I'm sure, over the years, and as I've seen, and there's no way that they could withstand that stuff. So it takes a special person to be able to manage everything that you and any entrepreneur who has a legitimate business does.
Well, yeah, man, hearing what you went through and did to get to here, you know, I'm sure that's going to continue to go you know, for the next 5, 10, 15 years and just keep pushing. But
yeah,
it's fun. I mean, it's hard work, but it's fun. But like that was when I was talking to myself, you know, early on, it was like one, if I ever couldn't get it started, I would just work for somebody. I could get a job anywhere. I'm not worried about that ever. Like when I was just starting, you know, mm-hmm. and like, you know, even like Jake, you know, hearing about, like, he wanted to buy in, but there was obviously some concerns, but also not. And it took him 3 years to, like, buy in, even with, like, you know, hey, let's do this earlier. But, like,
I think that's a magic number, though.
You know,
36 months. That's kind of like, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. But
I think that is a magic number for anyone to ever become a partner with me. I've tried partnering with people too, and I've gotten burned so bad by them, man. And, I was listening to a podcast by Bradley. You know Bradley is? Bradley was talking about how they have partners in their business. And he said, before you have any opportunity to become a partner in my business, you have to work for me for a minimum of 3 years. And if you can't withstand and prove to me that you're worthy over 3 years, there's no way in hell you'll ever be able to become a partner with me. Mm-hmm. But I love giving opportunity. I love people being able to be a partner with me because it gives them the opportunity to buy into the company. It's like having a second version of you, right? Like, that's important. And that's what I have with Kelly, and I would want with more people, but it has to be the right people.
Yeah.
There's a quote by Gandhi that I have. It says, "Your beliefs become your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions become your habits, and your habits become your values become your destiny." And I think that is a really good quote.
I like that.
That kind of aligns in business a lot.
Yeah. Now you can get it tattooed on you.
There you go. Yeah. I have a lot of tattoos, man. I got a couple black bears on me for my daughters, or there's two black bears on my bicep, and an eagle for my dad, and I got a rose that represents my mom, and I just got a bunch of stuff. So
I gotta get one. I don't have any yet.
You gotta get that MC on you, man.
I've been waiting. Dude, I was investing. Take it off. It's still there.
That's
sick, dude. I mean, I just appreciate you taking the time and coming on and chatting. It's been a blast. I mean, even knowing you, but still, like, even myself, not knowing all your story, and it's still not all your story, but just to have such a better idea of what you did, where you're going, what makes you tick, that's been sweet. So
I appreciate hearing that, man. And it's an honor to be on here today. It's a cool opportunity for me, and I hope that, you know, it can help some people and maybe open some doors for myself and my business. And so if there are any other business owners that are listening to this, take an opportunity or take a moment and reach out to me and see how I can benefit your business and help your business be able to grow to a new level. I definitely have an impact on the employees, and I think that a lot of businesses who do look into that opportunity will be appreciative of it, even if you don't commit to anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, sick. It's good having you on. I'm excited to keep watching and getting to know you more and more. And
I appreciate it, man. I'd love to do it again in the future.
Yeah, so that's right. We'll do one of these and down the road a little
10
bit.
10 years from now, we'll have a huge,
right?
We'll do it, in your podcast room and you're in
the gym. Right? So. There we go.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, sick, dude. Sweet.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me today, Jimmy.
Yep.
Pleasure to see you again.
See you, man.
And I'm excited to see where you guys go with this, Josh. So.
Rock on. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening today. We appreciate it. If you got something that you enjoyed or learned something, share it out. We have these going out on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube as well, the video version. And we enjoy it. We're going to keep getting people on. Hey, you know, reach out. If you think you got someone cool that we should bring on, let us know. And we're going to keep bringing great stories. And we look forward to the next one.